Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access health care. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. Listen up! NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press. A show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two! Time is running out! Number three! Time is running out! Number four!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's live and local now for a Tuesday. That means Tommy White, business manager for Laborers Union 872, who joins us. And he has been in the news. He has been a part of a hot mic deal that has gone viral. They've tried to shut it down, but they can't for some reason. And Tommy White joins us. This was Steve Sebelius. Politics Now on 8 News Now, and this was not this did not go over the air, but somehow this tape surfaced, was posted. Then they tried to take it down, but it's been all over the place. Set this up for us.
So anyway, they recorded this show and they posted it, not realizing that the first minute and 4 seconds of it they were mic'd up. So, you know, this is the way I see this, right? So here you got a congressman who talks about how much he supports labor, but yet he's going to agree with Steve Sebelius, who is liberal, progressive to the max. He's going to agree with Steve Sebelius that I'm crazy. But not only me, they also talk about the head of the teachers union. So I'll play this for you.
Here we go.
In solidarity, hang with teachers that... Guy's crazy. He's
the only crazier guy. Tommy White.
Okay, I'll give you that one.
Yeah, he is out of control. Hey, you know what? I didn't get a chance to ask you anything. You're working on. You want me to ask?
Yeah,
you?
Then, so it goes on from there. But says you're crazy.
Yeah,
is that true?
You know, I kind of think that they think I'm crazy because we see politics in a different way than they do. Right. So. It's kind of funny. As soon as that came out, it was like, you know, that's your you look at that, and this is how our news channels are set up, right? So they're set up to go after Republican candidates, and you know, it shows you more if you want to talk about fake news, right? So if they're gonna consider me crazy, and then Congressman Horsford's gonna agree. I can tell you right now, and I'll say it on the air, Labor's Local 872 will not endorse Congressman Horsford. And I will do my best to pull as many endorsements as I can. Because if he talks like that about me or agrees to that position about me, then just imagine how he talks when he's off the air. So, I mean, we just got kind of lucky to get that. And I can tell you right now, there's a lot of labor leaders that are not happy about this, going all the way back to D.C. What I was told by some of my friends in D.C. is that he should have corrected him and talked about how good the labor leaders in Las Vegas are. But, you know, on this little clip of a tape that we got, he's bashing two high-profile labor leaders.
Are you a sponsor for News 8 Now?
So, you know, because of this, I mean, my executive board, we were doing a sports sponsorship for Channel 8 because of the Raiders and because of the Golden Knights. And, you know, my board, as of last week, they pulled the sponsorship. So, I mean, I went to Chris, who's a great guy, Channel 8, and I told him, I said, listen, we really want to sponsor this show, but because you got Sibelius on there basically saying that I'm crazy, which is fine. He's not the only one that ever says I'm crazy, but he's the only one that really gets caught. If you want to say I'm crazy, just come right to me. You know, just stop by my office. Tell me to my face. Don't hide behind it, but...
And especially when you're on a hot mic and you don't realize this thing's going to get out and go viral.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, they get into a couple other things. They talk about the census and how important the census is. Well, listen, with the census, we, the United States of America, has the right to know who's in our country, whether you're a citizen or not. If you're in our country and you're working here, you're paying taxes here, or you're a resident here, we should know that you're here. It has nothing to do about you being a citizen or anything else. All we want to do is know who's in our country, and we have the right to know that.
So what happens from here? Can somebody apologize? You want Sibelius to apologize? You want Stephen Horsford to apologize? What are you seeking right now?
Well, listen, the funny thing is when Horsford got called on the carpet for it by my friend over at the teachers union, he denied it. Until he got told we have a copy of the tape. He didn't realize that it was out there, right? They even tried pulling this down off the internet and clipping that part out. And, we saved a copy of the video because, you know, it's a hot mic issue, right? So, listen, Steve Sibelius, he's going to put out there on social media that he's going to stand behind his word and he's going to stand behind what he says, which is fine. I mean, he really makes no sense at all. Even if you look at Steve Sibelius, how many times has Ralston got caught behind a hot mic, right? So, Steve Sibelius, he can apologize. He just don't like me, and I'm fine with that. He don't like me because the way we handle our politics. And you know how I am, Kevin. I can really care less who likes me and who don't like me. At the end of the day, we pick and choose who we feel is what's best for our community and what's best for my organization, and that's it.
But you've made the decision, and your executive board has made the decision, that you will not, under any circumstances, endorse Stephen Horsford.
We will not endorse Stephen Horsford. Matter of fact, there was a check sitting on my desk that was supposed to go to him, and that check got sent back.
Wow. Wow. Political hardball, and it happens every day. Stick around. 48,000 UAW workers nationwide walked out yesterday. They're asking not only for raises and better health benefits, but they're also asking for a share of the profits. You and I may disagree on this. This may be one of those issues you and I disagree with.
That's okay.
We'll talk about profit sharing and the UAW. We'll do that and more coming up live and local now.
The best of America isn't inside the Beltway with its marble facades and granite curbs. It's in the drive of Americans who go to work every day and do a job well. The drive of miners, farmers, ranchers, and engineers. The drive of construction and factory workers, hospitality professionals, clerks, chefs, and entrepreneurs. The drive of doctors, nurses, first responders, and soldiers. The jobs that they do rely on drivers, safe and professional truck drivers. Bad roads, bad weather, heavy traffic, and other drivers who care more about their phone than the road ahead. They contend with it all. Moving steel, stone, ore, and raw materials. Moving food and livestock with compassion and care. Medicine, munitions, and everything needed to recover and rebuild after a natural disaster. America's safe and professional truck drivers move over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. To our truck drivers, thank you. Because trucking moves America forward.
For years now, I've been telling you how I love the great smooth taste of Real Water. I also love the convenience and cost savings of their home delivery service. Real Water has upped its game again with Real Water Concentrate. Just a few squirts of the Real Water Concentrate, and you can transform any good purified water into real water. To learn more, just go to my website, KevinWallRadio.com. That's KevinWallRadio.com, and click on the Real Water icon at the top right of the page. Now, you can get Real Water anytime, anyplace, on the go.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and I ran for governor in 2018. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cyclery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid mountain bikes, and gift cards. We also have a wide variety of the latest e-bikes, which allows anyone to ride a bike, especially for those who want to ride a bike again but have some limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. And for those of you who are interested in a more extended outdoor experience, visit escapeadventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Escapeadventures.com.
Congressman Horsford has us headed in the wrong direction, where criminal illegal immigrants get to stay and our borders remain unsecure. I am Sam Peters, the only Republican candidate who can defeat Horsford. I proudly served in the military for 20 years and earned a Bronze Star in Afghanistan. I'm devoted to family and am a small business owner. I'm the only candidate who supports building the wall, opposes sanctuary cities, and supports a balanced budget amendment. Please join me in this important campaign by going to sampetersforcongress.com. That's sampeters4congress.com. I approve this message.
Paid for by Committee to Elect Sam Peters.
Hi, this is Chelsea Torres, Communications Director with Laborers Union Local 872. Laborers Local 872 is a construction union that strives to obtain more job opportunities for workers and employers. Local 872 is involved in issues that affect our daily lives, from creating good jobs to providing skilled job training, protecting health care, negotiating livable wages, ensuring safe job sites, providing safe neighborhoods for families, and honoring veterans and retirees. Laborers build everything you see on the Las Vegas Strip, from skyscrapers to casinos to stadiums. Laborers work in the tunnels and on the highways. We remediate buildings and make them safe by removing hazardous materials like asbestos and lead. With a legacy of hard work and getting things done, laborers are skilled, productive, proud, and diverse men and women who are building a stronger Nevada. Local 872 loves the Southern Nevada community, and we look forward to continuing to build a better future for all of us. Vegas strong, union proud.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
This hour of Live and Local Now brought to you in part by Liberty HealthShare, offering an affordable health care option that allows you to enroll any time of the year, even today. Check it out, 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY, or visit lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com. Tommy White joining us, Laborers Union Local 872, who joins us in studio. And while we're sitting here, there are some 48,000 UAW workers who are out on strike nationwide, striking General Motors. First of all, what do you make? Nobody likes to go on strike. I would imagine even the staunchest of staunch union leaders don't like the idea of doing a strike, much less even talking about one.
No, anytime that you have unions that go on strike, you're putting your workers out of work. Right, so they're not getting a check while they're on strike. But when you have a strike or that's affecting that many workers or that many families, right? And they're going on strike, wages, benefits, which is always usually what the strike is. It's not always related to working conditions, right? And they're looking for profit sharing in the company, right? So I get it. But on the other side of that, like me and you were talking about, are they willing to take the loss if the company loses?
And by the way, that is one of the issues that they're dealing with. They're dealing with health care and a 4% increase in health care. They're talking about a lot of different things. But one of the things they're offering, or what the union wants, is they want a share of the profits. The word is there was something like $27 million worth of profit for General Motors in the last quarter. And they contend that the workers deserve a part of that. And I said, coming into the studio, I said, hey, there's one we may disagree on. And you said, we may agree on this one. The idea, the notion of giving the workers a part of the profits. And you're saying, yes, but.
Most majority of workers that are part of a union, they get paid very well. And they have usually, 9 times out of 10, fantastic health plan. All health plans have to have increases because costs go up in medical. But if you're receiving a great wage and you're receiving a great health and welfare plan, and you on top of that, you want profit sharing. Now, that can work two ways. It might work, have that employee work a little bit harder to increase the profits of the company. But on the other side of that, if you're going to get a wage and you're going to get health and welfare, then maybe the profit sharing should cover that. So if a company's making $27 billion or in a quarter, and each one of those employees are going to get profit, well, then let them pay their health and welfare and their wages out of that profit that they're receiving. Because if you're making $27 billion, it's going to be a nice profit, right? So I just kind of think that might go out of the way a little bit. I mean, I Local 872, we have some of our members that became superintendents, and they have profit sharing in the companies they work for, and that's really nice. But, you know, they go out there and they work their way up to a superintendent. So if their company that they're working for wants to give them profit sharing, go right ahead. But they also settle for what the health and welfare is of that company. And they also settle for what the wage is that company wants to give them as part of receiving profit sharing.
Take us behind the scenes when you have a strike like this that's nationwide. That is UAW that's going to be shutting down General Motors plants over the next few days. You say that the workers don't get a check. Is there such a thing as a strike fund where they do get at least a portion of their salary from the union?
Some unions have a strike fund. Not every union is set up to have a strike fund, whether it's through their international or through their local union. It's usually when you go out on strike, you're taking that loss on your own. And whatever your union can do for you, like our union, if we went out on strike, we would do as much as we can, food banks, whatever it was going to be to handle that. But I don't see a lot of unions these days that have set up for strike funds. And then you have the national AFL-CIO, which I'm sure will step in and, you know, they'll put some money towards the strike fund and they'll assist these workers. But, I you know, if the workers feel they're due some, I'm sure they should be at the table negotiating that. And, I mean, we all remember when the car industry couldn't afford to pay their own bills, right? And then we had to bail them out of that one. So, really, I mean, I understand what you're saying, Kevin, but if we had to bail them out as workers and taxpayers, then the company should be giving a little bit back to somebody.
Again, Tommy White joining us. He is the business manager for Laborers 872. They are the people building the Allegiant Stadium. And I just drove by there. I just drove by there yesterday, and it's looking more and more like a stadium. Tell me where we are. Obviously, you want to have this thing ready to go by, what is it, July 30th or something like that?
July 30th, 2020.
Yeah.
Yep. Right now, we're putting up the glass panels. So there's approximately 8,000 glass panels that have to go up. We're doing anywhere from 18 to 20 panels a day on the glass. And then we also have the fabricated metal panels that are going up, and we're doing about 18 to 20 of those a day. So you're really going to start seeing that wave look when you look at the drawings and the renderings of the stadium. You're going to start seeing that wave look of the detail when you're along I-15. And in no time, you're going to see. I mean, the month of September went by so fast, right? So in no time, you're going to see the real, like, view of what you see on all the renderings of what the stadium is going to look like.
And when does the outdoor, when does the landscaping, when does all of that stuff, is that the last thing that happens?
Yeah, so the landscaping, the pavement, the asphalt, the whatever is left on the ground, that will all get done within the last 2 months.
And by the way, have we figured where people are going to park?
Yeah, I believe we have. You know, I went to the Monday night game last week, and me and my daughter, we walked over a mile to get to the stadium. And The Uber that we took to the stadium, we were about 2 miles from the stadium when we got in. So I saw the same people that were walking when we got in the Uber. I saw them walking when I got out of the Uber to walk the mile because we were caught in traffic. So parking issues is not going to be a problem. I think the fans are going to be very satisfied with where the parking is. There's going to be some parking off of Las Vegas Boulevard in Warm Springs. They'll be set up over there for having tailgating. And
So fans that love to tailgate, you know, Green Bay Packers style, they'll still be able to tailgate.
Oh, of course, of course. The Raiders will never take that away from the fan. That's part of Raiders history. And if you go to Oakland and you walk through their parking lots, you'll see so much tailgating going on. So I understand what the issue is with not having parking at the stadium. But a lot of those fans, I mean, to walk from the parking lot in Oakland through the parking lot to get to the stadium, you're looking at over a mile in some areas anyway.
I'm just curious. Are there going to be parking structures that get built somewhere along the way? I know there's a lot of property that's been gobbled up in that corridor. Is it possible we're going to end up with parking structures or something like that?
I'm sure there will be right off of probably around Hacienda or
Russell
around those areas. There'll be some parking structures, but nobody likes to get caught up in a parking structure for an hour when you're leaving a game. I mean, I know that from going to the Golden Knights games. If you wind up getting stuck up on the eighth floor, you're in that parking structure for over an hour just trying to get out. So I think level parking would probably be best for especially tailgating. You're not going to tailgate in a parking structure, right? So you want to be outside where everybody could have their barbecues and set up their tents and have a great time.
I tell you what, I'm starting to get really antsy about this because, and we're watching games and we're watching that stupid skin part of the infield in Oakland that will be no more, and that team will actually. In fact, I was telling somebody, you realize this time next year, that team's going to be the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yep, and they'll be here, and there'll be no more playing on a baseball field.
Yeah, I've never understood why they can't fix that.
Yeah,
it just looks weird.
Well, it does, and I can tell you right now, just by watching the players and being out there, the players don't like it because they come off the field and instead of having green from a turf field, they wind up having red from a dirt field, and the Raiders will never play on a baseball field again. That was their last game on Sunday, and it's going to look really great for them to have a real turf field and an AstroTurf field. We have both at that stadium. And I really believe, I mean, looking at the fans in Oakland and then watching those fans that are really looking forward to coming to Las Vegas, it's going to be a fantastic time in Vegas come July of 2020.
And by the way, at what point down the road will the Raiders be good enough to beat my Chiefs? Or is that going to be a while?
You know,
28-10, they got smothered.
Well, they were doing pretty good in the first quarter, but listen, the Chiefs have a fantastic quarterback, and I'm really looking forward to next year when he's able to negotiate his contract because I'm pretty sure he's going to be asking for some big dollars,
and he'll get some big dollars. I'm talking about Pat Mahomes. Anyway, stick around. More to do. My friend, thank you so much, Tommy. Always good to see you, man. And we'll talk with you again next week.
Always great, Kevin. Thank you.
Tommy White, Local 872, the people building Allegiant Stadium. I just love it. It's not the Raiders Stadium anymore. It's Allegiant Stadium. Stick around. More to do. The president spoke in Albuquerque last night. I'll let you hear highlights. Some of it may surprise you, too. We'll get to that and more coming up. Live and local, now. I always love it when we have Tommy White on. He is, and people always come up to me and say, I can't believe you have a major labor union leader on a conservative talk show. It doesn't happen much around the country. It certainly doesn't happen here, but it happens on this radio program, live and local now. By the way, coming up top of the hour, very excited. Yeah, do you know what today is? Today is Constitution Day. It's the day we celebrate the work of our founding fathers. And there's a big event coming up this weekend celebrating Constitution Day. Well, we'll talk about that with Brenda coming up in just a couple minutes. Also, the president spoke last night in Rio Rancho, a suburb of Albuquerque. So he went to New Mexico, which has been a traditionally blue state. Yeah, they've had a Republican governor, every so often. But by and large, it's been essentially a blue state. But the president went there with a specific idea in mind. And let's begin with Cut 5. Because Cut 5 is what I think it's the real reason the president went to New Mexico last night. And his speech was spectacular. I mean, it really honestly was. This is Cut 5, and this is the president in Rio Rancho celebrating gains by Hispanics and other minorities. Here it is.
Yesterday marked the beginning of the Hispanic Heritage Month. Who's Hispanic here? Latinos for Trump.
Thank you.
Incredible people. But we have much to celebrate. Unbelievable when you think the unemployment for Hispanic Americans is right now at the lowest level ever recorded in the history of our country. Hispanic American poverty reached a brand new all-time low in history. And after years of stagnation that you know very well, wages for Hispanic Americans are rising really fast, up nearly 8% since my election. Those are unheard of numbers. They're unheard of. And median income, think of that, median income for Hispanic Americans surpassed $50,000 for the first time ever. That's your median. That's not bad. That means you're wealthy. And you're getting wealthier fast. And I just want to tell you, it's an honor. But you know, when I'm on the debate stage, debating one of these far-left radical Democrats, whoever it may be, and they start telling you what they're going to do for you, and you say, but we have the best numbers, every category that we've ever had, Hispanic Americans, excuse me, New Mexico as a whole. We have the best numbers. African Americans, the best numbers that we've ever had in the history of our country. Asian Americans, the best numbers that we've ever had in history. Women, the best numbers that we've had in 71 years. We're working night and day to deliver a future of limitless opportunity for our nation's Hispanic American citizens, including millions and millions of extraordinary Mexican Americans who enrich our society, strengthen our country, serve in our military, and contribute immensely to our shared American family. And I want to just tell you that Mexico is doing a great job for us on the border, and I want to thank the president of Mexico.
What a great speech directed at folks in New Mexico, many of them Hispanic, many of them Native American, and he brought out the numbers to prove it. That he is committed to those communities. This hour of Live and Local Now brought to you in part by Las Vegas Cyclery, featuring kids' bikes, affordable hybrids, mountain bikes, and Las Vegas Cyclery has a wide variety of the latest e-bikes. For those of you who want to ride again but you have some physical limitations, check them out at LasVegasCyclery.com. That's LasVegasCyclery.com. Now, one of the other issues that is out there, and that is the issue of that horrible story in the New York Times trying to defame a sitting Supreme Court justice in Brett Kavanaugh. And I've got tons of sound from just about everybody that can't believe the New York Times would stoop to this level. I happen to have come to expect it from the New York Times. All the news that's fit to print, don't think so in this case. But let's go to cut two, because it's Chuck Grassley, former chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And if you want to know how this works, they've done a deal with Republicans that they are term limiting chairman. So you don't have a guy that's, you know, for 15, 20 years sitting as chairman of a powerful committee. And Chuck Grassley, a year or so ago, when they were confirming Brett Kavanaugh, was the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. He's now the chairman of the Finance Committee. But he called out that New York Times story on the floor of the U.S. Senate. This is cut two. And I want you to hear Chuck Grassley, because he tore into the New York Times.
Let me be clear. This is not an allegation. It's barely a third-hand rumor. These writers, can you believe this? These writers didn't even speak to the man who they claimed originally recounted this rumor. What's left are only layers and layers of decades-old hearsay. No more corroboration, no more verification, not even anything from the accuser himself. And nothing, most importantly, nothing from the person who was allegedly involved. Now, the most shameful piece of this episode is that it took more than a full day after publication for the editors to intervene and to provide critical context. An editor's note added to the story last night reads, quote, "The book reports that the female student declined to be interviewed, and friends say that she does not recall the incident." Let me quote again. She does not recall the incident. That is the alleged victim. That's the opposite of corroboration and verification. In the legal world, this sort of thing is called exculpatory information. When it's not laid bare to provide greater context, it creates a serious credibility problem. In this case, the New York Times withheld crucial facts that undercuts its own reporting. We now have an uncorroborated accusation rooted only in unnamed sources with no direct knowledge of the event, and that the alleged victim doesn't even remember. Now, you know about the New York Times. They say their slogan is they only print what is fit to print. I just described this situation of uncollaboration rooted in an unnamed sources with no direct knowledge of this event, and that the alleged victim doesn't even remember. I'll get back to the slogan of the newspaper. When did this stuff I describe become something fit to print by the supposed American paper of record?
Good point. Good point. That's Chuck Grassley. He is the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, used to be chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And, you know, Congress needs to look into this. The Senate needs to do some oversight on the New York Times. You know, how does a story like this, first of all, get into print? And how much corroboration do you need? Do you need any, or can you create any story out of whole cloth? What they've tried to do to Brett Kavanaugh is absolutely stunning. The character assassination that happened during the hearings, and now a year later. It makes no sense at all. Coming up, one member of Congress, in fact, a U.S. senator, uses Fox and Friends to speak directly to the president on an issue that we're all talking about. It's called gun control. We'll get to that and more coming up. Live and local now. Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and five daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
Join Nevada Policy and the founder of Prager University, Dennis Prager, in Las Vegas on September 17th. I'm John Sarpolis, president of Nevada Policy. Dennis Prager is a best-selling author, radio host, and founder of Prager University, and he'll be the keynote speaker for Nevada Policy's anniversary dinner, The Spirit of Las Vegas, on September 17th at the Venetian Resort in Las Vegas. PragerU is an online university that promotes the concepts of free markets, individual rights, and American values. With over 1 billion views on YouTube every year, PragerU teaches viewers how free markets, capitalism, and America has enriched everyone's life. So don't miss this evening with Dennis Prager as Nevada Policy celebrates 28 years of working to keep Nevada free and prosperous. Visit nevadapolicy.org/event now to reserve your seat. We'll see you on September 17th for Nevada Policy's anniversary dinner. That's nevadapolicy.org/event.
It's amazing how time flies. Hey, Kevin Wall here, your host on Live and Local Now and the owner of Battle Born Radio Corp. It was just over 3 years ago that I was dragged kicking and screaming into the 21st century. I knew my small business would have to move warp speed into this new digital era. That's when I called Sofa King Creative Group. Locally owned and operated, Sofa King Creative Group designs and manages areas of digital marketing for a wide variety of clients. Their marketing team provides fully integrated solutions, whether you need a company brand, graphic design project, an engaging mobile-friendly website. What I like best about Sofa King Creative Group, they showed me how an increased web presence can mean more profit for my small business. Let the pros at Sofa King Creative Group help you and your small business. Ask for a free analysis of your current marketing strategies. Call 702-965-2016. That's 702-965-2016. Or check them out at SofaKingCreativeGroup.com. That's SofaKingCreativeGroup.com.
The best of America isn't inside the Beltway with its marble facades and granite curbs. It's in the drive of Americans who go to work every day and do a job well. The drive of miners, farmers, ranchers, and engineers. The drive of construction and factory workers, hospitality professionals, clerks, chefs, and entrepreneurs. The drive of doctors, nurses, first responders, and soldiers. The jobs that they do rely on drivers, safe and professional truck drivers. Bad roads, bad weather, heavy traffic, and other drivers who care more about their phone than the road ahead. They contend with it all. Moving steel, stone, ore, and raw materials. Moving food and livestock with compassion and care. Medicine, munitions, and everything needed to recover and rebuild after a natural disaster. America's safe and professional truck drivers move over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. To our truck drivers, thank you. Because trucking moves America forward.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
absolutely love it. I absolutely love it when you discover a new strategy from the left. And we discovered it really yesterday that what the left is trying to do is they realize they can't beat Fox News Channel. But what they can do is glom onto it in some way. So what happened yesterday on Fox and Friends? Chris Coons, the liberal senator out of Delaware, goes on Fox and Friends, visits with my buddy, Brian Kilmeade. I've filled in for him probably 50, 60 times over the years. And he used Fox and Friends to make a personal appeal to the president relative to gun control. Listen to Chris Coons going on Fox and Friends.
Yeah. Beto O'Rourke makes his comments. Yeah, I'm coming for your assault weapons. You said it's not helpful. No. So how does that play into what we're going to see or not see this week?
Well, there's still 20 people running for president in the Democratic Party. I respect and understand how Beto O'Rourke has huge passion around this because his hometown was torn up by another one of these mass violence incidents. What I'm focused on is trying to craft legislation that could actually pass. President Trump, if you're watching, you have an opportunity here to genuinely lead our nation. Expanding background checks, making a difference in terms of extreme risk protection orders, something that was signed into law by Governor Scott, now Senator Scott in Florida, after Parkland, or the Toomey Coons bill that would make sure that law enforcement is notified when a convicted felon lies on the background check form and tries to buy a gun. There's a whole range of things like this.
I can't imagine anyone having a problem with that, to be honest.
My hope is that that would be part of a broader package.
How do you feel about a violent 17-year-old having his record expunged when he turns 18 because of privacy rules?
I'm sorry?
If you're a violent 17-year-old
right.
and you become the Dayton shooter at 24,
right.
we don't even know about his kill list, list. What do we do about that?
There are ways that we can and should strengthen what kind of information is saved and stored in the National NICS system and how it is shared with law enforcement and how it impacts who's able to access guns. Look, I think the sweet spot here is finding a way to make background checks stronger and broader. I do think we should take up and vote on the universal background check bill that came over from the House.
Okay.
But I don't think the president should miss this opportunity to say, here's what I'll support. And frankly, with Leader McConnell and Republicans and Democrats working together in the
right.
Senate, we can make a difference that'll save lives.
Okay, if you say so. The last word this hour I'm going to give to the president. Because the president, I thought, did a great job last night in Rio Rancho, New Mexico, just outside of Albuquerque. This is cut six. Cut six. And he essentially, this is how he's going to win states like New Mexico and even like Nevada, talking about results. Here's the president.
You know, as well as I do, we're battling against the corrupt establishment of the past. And we're achieving historic victories for the American people. We're winning again. We're winning again, and we're winning big. We're winning big. Crucially for your state, we have ended the last administration's war on American energy. And since my election, natural gas production, big story today, in New Mexico has increased by 40%. 4-0. And that means great wages and it means jobs, and that's why you're breaking every single record in your state's book. Crude oil production in New Mexico has more than doubled and going up a lot higher very quickly. And your state's energy revenues are up by nearly two-thirds. Think of that, two-thirds. And that's in a short period of time. Give me a little bit more time, okay? The United States is now the number one producer of oil and natural gas anywhere in the world. And this means more jobs, higher wages, and American energy independence, which is what we have. You know, a few years ago, if we had a problem like you saw 2 days ago in the Middle East, we would have been in a panic. Although, not if I were your president. We never panic. We don't want to panic. But a few years ago, they would have been in a panic. Today, we got a lot of oil. We got a lot of gas. A lot of oil and gas. We don't have to send too many boats over there. You notice the other day they were saying, we don't see too many American ships anymore. You know why? Because we don't need. We're independent as we want. And we are now a net exporter of energy. Revenues from energy production provide up to 25% of your state's budget and going much higher in the very near future. And they've generated nearly $1 billion budget surplus in New Mexico. Thank you very much, President Trump. Thank you.
I like that. No. I like that. Thanking himself. Yeah, thank you, President Trump. I honestly do. I thought the speech was outstanding, and it's what you're going to see. I mean, he is honing his message for the 2020 reelect. That was all about 2020. He was going after Hispanics, Native Americans in the state of New Mexico. It makes sense. It was, to me, it was a near-perfect speech. There was like one heckler, and then that's going to happen. No, I mean, that's the norm. Trust me. This hour of Live and Local Now brought to you by Ichabod's Lounge, featuring old-school Vegas atmosphere. In fact, it's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing cash giveaways and payouts. Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge and Piano Bar. In fact, I was there yesterday for lunch. It was spectacular. On East Flamingo at Pecos. That's Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar. Stick around. More to do as we continue. Coming up in our next hour, we'll be joined by Brenda Flank. You know what today is? Today is Constitution Day. No better person to talk to than the woman that organizes a major Constitution Day outing. Also, we'll get a chance to hear from Michael Joyce. He is the Deputy Press Secretary from the RNC. What did he think of the president's speech last night? That's all next, live and local now.